At 80 years old, Bruce Wayne is still looking pretty darn good. We're going to chat about it on this episode of Pop Life.
Digital content on WAER is supported by SRC Incorporated, headquartered in Syracuse, New York. SRC is actively hiring engineers and other positions. Learn more at srcinc.com/careers.
Batman has been Gotham's protector for decades. The character made his first appearance in Detective Comics number 27 back in May of 1939. Why has this tights-wearing cape crusader endured in American popular culture for so long? To discuss this and more on this episode of Pop Life, I welcome Seth Everett. He is host of the wildly popular podcast Hall of Justice. Welcome to the show, Seth.
Thank you. And is Pop Life in deference to Prince?
No, it is. I know that you're a big Prince fan.
Everybody wants a thrill.
It is not. Tell us a little bit before we get started about Hall of Justice.
The Hall of Justice. Well, the slogan is, if you're old enough to know what the Hall of Justice is, you're our demographic.
Okay.
The show was created in 2015, and the idea behind it was, you know, I have this 25-year journalism career, this broadcasting career, and this is a subject that I've been passionate about for 25 years, but only now is it in the pop culture. It used to be something you never talked about. When I worked at FM 88, there was no way I would do a show about Batman. It wouldn't be allowed. And now there are, you know, these movies are making billions of dollars. So the idea was, the reason I called it the Hall of Justice was simply because I wanted an older demographic. I wanted grownups. Mm-hmm. I'm not turning people away, but what it is I want people to have the same reverence for the source material that we did. And I treat it like it's sports. You know, okay. People are passionate about sports. So why not be passionate about whatever the subject of that particular episode happens to be?
Now, you don't limit yourself to DC comic characters.
No.
Okay, so it's all the whole genre.
It's everything.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, it's Star Wars. It's we did an episode about Transformers that did very well.
Okay.
And we get guests. A lot of times it's you know, the show is really two shows. It's guests. So if we have a guest that happens to be a Marvel actor or a more Marvel voice person, mm-hmm. then we're fine with that. Our most popular episode of 2018 easily was the Stan Lee tribute that we did. But then also we tackle some real issues. You know, there was somebody who wrote for the Huffington Post that she was convinced that either the creator or an advisor for the Netflix series Jessica Jones had to be a rape victim because of the nature in which the post-traumatic stress was being portrayed.
Wow.
And I said, wow, that's an episode, right? Like that. That thrilled me. And the episode is so deep and it's so interesting. And then what we do for the spoiling of movies, and it sounds bad when you say it, but what we have learned, we've done market research and we find that when people know they're not supposed to listen to something, we get triple the audience. it's amazing. You know, somebody's going to see these movies. And, you know, as much as social media can be very rude to people,
mm-hmm.
I don't think people go on Twitter and say, they killed Han Solo.
Right.
They don't do that. They don't do that. But if you have a podcast where there's credibility and you're telling people, look, if you want to hear our review, we are going to spoil these movies. People really resonate with those.
Yeah, so there's an opt-in factor.
Yep.
So you can opt in and you're not being spoiled by surprise. So let's talk about Batman.
To the Batfall, right.
80 years old, walking around on with a scooter or a cane or a walker, but looking pretty good at 80 years old. Why do you think? And we're going to jump into the history a little bit, but why do you think a tight-wearing, cape-wearing, masked individual with little bat ears in today's portrayal of superpowered heroes without costumes and all that stuff, why do you think Batman is still going pretty strong in our culture?
I always say that Batman tells the best stories. I've always thought, you know, Batman's not my favorite superhero, but I always say that Batman tells the best stories, and Batman has reinvented itself time and time again.
Yeah.
So the Batman that you know of the 1930s and the Batman of the 1960s and then the Batman of the 1980s and then the Michael Keaton, Tim Burton Batman, mm-hmm. and then Batman the Animated Series, and then, you know, all these different incarnations, so that if I go to any average listener, if I'm walking down the streets of Syracuse and I say, who is your Batman? You'll have one generation that says it's Adam West.
Mm-hmm. Museum officials could have heard about the Joker's prison break and hastily included him.
Sure, so as not to enrage him to stealing the jewels.
Or else this whole thing could be a trick to divert us from his real intentions.
You'll say of another generation that says it's Kevin Conroy, who was the voice of the animated Batman.
Mm-hmm. I am vengeance. I am the knight. I am Batman.
And then you'll have people who say Michael Keaton or Ben Affleck or Christian Bale. And Christian Bale is Batman to an entire generation.
Right, right.
And because of that, it's not one guy. And I think that that's why he has persevered. I think there is great reverence for the source material. And only now are you starting to see that, because in the 70s, you wouldn't get that. You know, right. Super Friends was so homogenized and so kid friendly that if you notice the Super Friends, this is my joke about the Hall of Justice. If you have all of them, they all have the same personality.
Yeah. Like,
there's nothing different between Batman and Superman and Aquaman. Like, they're all the same guy.
Right.
Nowadays, what they've done, especially with DC animation, with Warner Brothers animation, they have taken some of the great Batman iconic storylines from the comics and put them to animation. So you've seen The Dark Knight Returns,
right,
and Batman Year One. There's a new animated feature coming out this year, Batman Hush, which is based on a book, Under the Red Hood, which is an amazing Batman film. You're starting to see all of those. And in all of those, there is a different guy voicing Batman. And it's a different art style. It's a different work. And it's all the same character. But man, we've been talking about all of these incarnations. There is not just one Batman.
Right. We go from there have been several different aesthetics to how Batman is portrayed. We go from dark and mysterious to campy and corny to the battle-hardened warrior. And this is all done through comics and video games and TV series and movies. What is your favorite flavor of Batman? I'm guessing you're a battle-hardened warrior.
Well, my favorite Batman stories are Batman the Animated Series and then the subsequent spin-offs and follow-up.
So who's in the animated series? Is that
the Batman the Animated Series was created in 1992. I was mm-hmm. a freshman at Syracuse University, and I used to tape them on a VCR and watch them late at night with guys in my dorm. It was it's a groundbreaking series. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, we did an episode of the Hall of Justice recently, because for the 25th anniversary of Batman the Animated Series, they released them on Blu-ray. And so they did a press event, and I was invited to the press event. And so I got to talk to all the creators. We've had Kevin Conroy, who's the voice of Batman. And then they had all kinds of celebrities, Richard Mall, and John Glover,
is this a dark and mysterious Batman, or which one?
Well,
which one
are it's we funny because it's 2D animation. It's the classic animation style. So it's not the digital animation, but it was drawn on black paper, which is very different, because what you get were shadows that the artists never planned on. It was a conscious decision. It was the first ever series of its kind. And they made originally 65 episodes, and then they made another 20 episodes. But then they did something that in animation you'd never seen done. They advanced the show 5 years. Mm-hmm. And so Dick Grayson grew up and stopped being Robin, and he became Nightwing. And Batman got a new partner, Tim Drake, who became Robin. And then Barbara Gordon found out Bruce's secret, and now she's on the team. Mm-hmm. And it changed the dynamic. They changed the art style to make them look 5 years older.
Wow.
And when had you ever seen that in a cartoon? Like, Bugs Bunny looks the same.
Right.
For 50 years. Like, how it was so revolutionary. And then the creators, Bruce Timm and Paul Dini and Glenn Murakami and these fantastic animators did a Superman animated series, and it made it in continuity with Batman. Mm-hmm. So they created something. They took three episodes and they put it on a VHS and called it the Batman Superman movie. And it was Bruce Wayne has a love affair with Lois Lane. Like, what? Like, mind blown. And I've often said that the animated storylines, I think that from anyone who is in my generation, so I'm in my mid-40s, I would say anybody from their mid-30s to about mid-50s, if you read a Batman comic book, you hear Kevin Conroy's voice. And I just think that's the best storytelling. It's not to knock the Nolan movies. Mm-hmm. The Nolan movies are fantastic.
And we're gonna get to that.
Right.
Definitely.
And the Michael Keaton movies, mm-hmm. and even the Joel Schumacher movies with Val Kilmer and George Clooney. Mm-hmm. They all have their place in the lexicon. But if you didn't ask that, you said what's the best one? And it's not even close. The Batman the Animated Series is the best Batman story told.
Okay.
Ruin their hair forever.
Now, my first interaction or experience with Batman goes back to I'm about 10 years older than you, goes back to my childhood with comic books, sure. And then the television series, of course. Now, this was was in syndication, and because it was obviously out before I was, conscious.
Yep.
But that is the sort of campy Batman, which for a kid like me growing up in inner city Baltimore, it was fun to watch, but not edgy enough for me. So I strayed away from DC comic superheroes. I was more.
But at the time, it was color.
It was
in color, and it was very bright, and it was very. They joke. They call him the Bright Knight.
Right.
And give them credit for their place in history, because I just think that what that series did was it captured the hearts and imaginations of people who you said you're 10 years older than me. Imagine somebody 15 years older than
right.
me. It hits just that sweet spot to that there are people out there, people that I respect a great deal, that say Adam West is their Batman.
Oh, no. Yeah, no, I can't co-sign on that.
The thing is that
they had to keep reinventing Batman to, I guess, take hold in our culture at certain times. I know that when the television series was created, it helped revive the comic, which was declining in circulation. Mm-hmm. And so we keep going through the sort of reinvention or reinventing Batman or the retelling of his origin and recreating his persona in order to grab certain demographics and generations. And I think what got it for me way late in life was the Nolan movies, because I'm a dark person. I like my characters dark, I like them edgy. I like people struggling with good and evil and humanity. I mean, I like that kind of stuff. So that's the Batman that I gravitate to most, and that would be Christian Bale. So my question to you is, because you appear to be a student of all this, and you said you like the animated series, but which rendition or version of Batman appeals to you most beyond the animated. I'm talking the live action stuff.
Well, I think that they play a different role. You know, 1989, at the time, Michael Keaton was the dark Batman. That was a conscious choice to go darker than Adam West.
Right.
And I don't think you get to Christian Bale without Michael Keaton.
Right.
The thing that I thought that the Tim Burton movie had was it had just the right line between camp and, you know, to make it comic booky, but not campy.
Yeah, that seemed to be pretty intentional. I mean, because you're right.
Well, Jack Nicholson. Right.
You do go a little.
I don't think. Right.
You go a little dark. But it's hard to, and you bring in Jack Nicholson, who is going to bring in a edgier Joker, but you still have a painted face, goofy villain, right? And so you still
right,
have
but,
that
but,
campiness.
But here's the difference. You know, Jack Nicholson's character falls in a vat of acid.
Right.
That's pretty consistent with the comic book.
Can somebody tell me what kind of a world we live in where a man dressed up as a bat gets all of my press? This town needs an enema.
That was the first time you saw on screen the killing of Bruce's parents.
Mm-hmm.
It was dark. I mean, that's the thing. Like, to compare it to the Dark Knight movie, I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's an apples to apples comparison. I think that, you know, as the movie franchise went, I thought Batman Returns was even darker. With Catwoman, with Michelle Pfeiffer and Danny DeVito. But then they changed it. And then Joel Schumacher got involved and they made it goofy again. And, you know, Batman and Robin, they say almost killed the superhero franchise. You know, the movie.
Yeah.
That movie, Batman, that's an awful movie.
Right.
but I think the timing had to be right. You know, for example, before Nolan could create Batman Begins, you had to have the X-Men come out.
Right.
You had to have Sam Raimi come out with the Spider-Man franchise.
Right.
They had to try Superman Returns, if you remember that movie, the Brandon Routh Superman movie.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Warner Brothers made a conscious decision to retell that story and tell it in a completely different fashion.
Right.
And I will say this. I love the two and number two and three more than I like one. Number one, because I hate the way they call the villain's name. Liam Neeson's character is Ra's al Ghul,
mm-hmm.
not Ra's al Ghul.
Okay.
And there's a great, there was a cartoon later on, not Batman the Animated Series, but there was a cartoon later on where they debate how to pronounce his name.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Ra's al Ghul. And it would drive me bananas that they kept saying the name wrong.
When I found you in that jail, you were lost. But I believed in you. I took away your fear, and I showed you a path. You are my greatest student. It should be you standing by my side, saving the world.
I'll be standing where I belong. Between you and the people of Gotham.
And I didn't like the way Christian Bale was in Batman Begins in costume.
Okay.
I loved him as Bruce Wayne. I didn't love him as Batman.
Okay.
In the second and third, I thought he fit the clothes better.
Okay.
I just thought he embraced the character in two and three. Two is a movie. The reason why I think The Dark Knight is a completely unique movie is you do not know where the hell that movie's going from minute one to minute end, and you're on the edge of your seat.
Well,
I think that's amazing.
Yeah, there's a reason why that was one of the highest grossing movies of all time. And,
all time.
And reinventing the Joker through Heath Ledger had to be a huge part of that.
I know why you choose to have your little group therapy sessions in broad daylight. I know why you're afraid to go out at night. The Batman. See, Batman has shown Gotham your true colors, unfortunately.
But do you agree that that Heath Ledger is set a standard for the Joker?
Well, the thing is, though, that I don't think anybody's tried to emulate that.
Mm-hmm.
I think because Heath Ledger died, I think that there's a different take if you look at what Jared Leto's character was in Suicide Squad when he played the Joker, which I thought was obnoxious. Now they're creating another movie, another Joker movie called, you know, with Joaquin Phoenix. I had a lot of fun on Twitter because seen on set, they were filming in Newark, New Jersey, near where I live. And there was this, an old 1960s Adam West Batmobile on set, somewhere on set. So I said, wouldn't it be great? I said on the Hall of Justice, I said, wouldn't it be great if the Joaquin Phoenix Joker movie was really a Cesar Romero origin story?
Cesar Romero, the longtime Joker on the Batman
Who wouldn't shave his mustache? Yeah. So it just spray painted over his mustache.
The Dark Knight is my favorite Batman movie of.
That's a great movie.
Well, you're not Batgirl.
Let's get to Mr. Affleck.
And your,
and your take on his Batman. Because there was a lot of pushback when he was announced that he would play Batman. There was an awful lot of pushback on social media. People just weren't buying it.
But there was a lot of pushback when Michael Keaton was cast. I don't think Affleck's the problem. I think the problem was the movies that Affleck was in.
Yeah, but the thing with Keaton, I mean, that was the reboot. So you're going from what, Adam West to Keaton? So there's not...
Right, but it was Mr. Mom. He was Mr. Mom at the time.
Yeah.
That was complaining on social media before social media was ever invented.
Yeah, Keaton was rom-com kind of actor, right? So he's known for romantic comedies.
Here's Affleck. I thought if you gave Affleck Christopher Nolan's scripts, I think he nails Batman.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a great actor. I think that I loved Argo, for example. I love Good Will Hunting. I'm an Affleck fan.
Okay.
Not everything Affleck does is great, but Affleck doesn't write a lot of these movies.
Mm-hmm.
And my problem with Affleck is the movies he was seen in. He was seen in Batman v Superman, which is a flawed movie.
Mm-hmm.
He was seen in Justice League, which is a ridiculously flawed movie.
Okay,
let's go into some of the worst dialogue that you could ask him to have. So, you know, I have a big joke on my podcast about Ryan Reynolds. Ryan Reynolds was Green Lantern, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Ryan Reynolds gets a bad rap for Green Lantern. But you know what? Ryan Reynolds was great in Green Lantern. It's not his fault. He fought a cloud.
Right. Now, to get into some detail on those two movies, why were they flawed, deeply flawed movies?
Batman v Superman, the whole concept is you have, you know, Batman, one of Batman's nicknames is he's the world's greatest detective. You're telling me that Batman couldn't figure out that Superman was only antagonizing him because Lex Luthor was putting him up to it? That never once could Superman say, hey, wait a second, let me talk to you for a minute. Because we understood why Superman attacked Batman. Batman just attacked. He just attacked him because he was mad about that awful Man of Steel movie. and on top of that, these two geniuses stopped fighting because they realized that their moms both have the same first name. Why'd you say Martha? Martha, you're going to kill Martha. Martha. Come on.
Your point is made.
And then is it Ben Affleck's fault that they tried to bring Doomsday into that movie and have, this is my Warner Brothers issue. Ever since Zack Snyder took over, it has been fight a CGI character at the end. And what'd they do? Now, if you take that scene where Ben Affleck rescues Martha Kent when he breaks into that warehouse and he beats all those people, mm-hmm. that's classic Batman,
right?
Like, that's a great Batman scene. But take that in a bubble, because the rest of the movie is so freaking stupid.
Let's move on to some favorite foes. You know, we had classics like the Joker, the Riddler, the Penguin. These are goofy characters to me. Mr. Zero, Catwoman, and Ra's al Ghul, or as you say, it's what? Raja?
Yeah.
So who are some of your favorite villains?
Who are my favorite villains? Well, I love the animated incarnation of Mr. Freeze.
Okay.
What they redid, you know, in the 60s, it was a he was like a foreign diplomat that had to be in a cold place, and his goal was to get all the ice. It was so stupid. But in the animated series, Victor Freeze was a scientist whose wife had a terminal illness. And in order to save her, to buy time for him to find a cure, he froze her.
This is how I'll always remember you. Surrounded by winter, forever young, forever beautiful. Rest well, my love. The monster who took you from me will soon learn that revenge is a dish best served cold.
And he put her, you know, he froze her body. And in an accident, he got, he had to be somewhere in a sub-zero environment. So that's when he builds the suit and he gets the freeze gun and he becomes Mr. Freeze. And it's a, it won awards. It's called, the episode is called Heart of Ice. I'm sure you could find it on iTunes or wherever.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out.
Heart of Ice. It's the origin of Mr. Freeze. And it's, you never felt more for the villain.
Mm-hmm.
Because you empathize with him in such a grand way. There's also a wonderful Joker story. There's a great book called Batman: The Killing Joke, and that was turned into an animated feature. And in Batman: The Killing Joke, the Joker paralyzes Barbara Gordon, and she ceases to become Batgirl. She becomes Oracle. And she's confined to a wheelchair. And that's a like you've never seen. And the Joker goes through his origin and, you know, through flashbacks. So there have been some really dark villains. Ra's al Ghul is a classic Batman villain.
Yeah.
There are some great Batman villains. And that's why I think there are always great Batman stories to tell.
Okay.
That's why I said, you know, he's never been my favorite comic book character. But he is the one that has the richest stories because he has such a great rogues gallery that you can pull from all these different places. There's a great comic book called Nightfall where he fights off with Bane. And you remember Bane from The Dark Knight Rises.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's my one complaint with The Dark Knight Rises, which I think is a great movie. Bane breaks Batman's back.
Right.
And it takes Bruce Wayne years to come back. In The Dark Knight Rises, it takes him about a half hour.
Yeah.
Speed is of the essence.
So for 80 years, and correct me if I'm wrong, try as they may, the sidekick just doesn't seem to work for Batman's success. We've had Robin, we've had Batwoman, Batgirl. There was once a magical imp named Batmite. And there was even Ace the Bat Hound, a crime-fighting dog that wore a mask. And then you have the butler, Alfred, which is a mainstay. He is a mainstay. But in your opinion, have they tried to force this sidekick thing? That, to me, the better stories are just Batman and not a
sidekick. Well, the Robin stories are great. There's a great Robin tale in which Robin grows up. And there was also the story of Jason Todd. And that was in the comics. This was in the early 80s. And the DC Comics actually had a phone number that you could call to vote whether Robin should live or die.
Mm-hmm.
And the fans voted for him to die. So Dick Grayson was the first Robin. He grows up and becomes Nightwing. And then there's Jason Todd, and they tried so hard to make his personality different from Dick Grayson's that they made him obnoxious.
Mm-hmm.
And so fans got annoyed with him. Again, if I can recommend, it's called Batman Under the Red Hood. And you see this story brought to life where Jason Todd dies and then eventually comes back to life through the help of Ra's al Ghul. And so the Jason Todd story is wonderful. And then there's Tim Drake. Tim Drake was in the animated series, and there's a really dark, you want to talk about dark. There was a show called Batman Beyond, where Bruce Wayne is in his 80s. It's a funny when you started the show and you mentioned he was wearing a cane. I'm like, I've seen that. yeah. And they got Kevin Conroy to voice old Bruce Wayne. And it was a futuristic show. It skews a little younger, but there's an animated feature called Batman Beyond Return of the Joker, in which they flash back to the original Batman, the animated series, and you see the death of the Joker.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's incredible, but Tim Drake is directly connected to that. So I said on my podcast, I said, imagine watching Tim Drake through the years, knowing he's the guy who eventually kills the Joker.
Wow.
And it adds a depth to the whole thing. So from a sidekick standpoint, Ace the Bat Hound was a product of the 60s. I remember in Batman Beyond, they gave the old man a dog and they called it Ace. And he says, nice dog. And, you know, and Kevin Conroy goes, not really.
And a magical imp named Batmite.
Well, I'll send you to iTunes. There is a great episode. Let me see if I can find the title of it. There was a show called Batman, the Brave and the Bold. Batman, the Brave and the Bold is a love letter to Batman. James Tucker did it in 2008 to 2011. Diedrich Bader was the voice of Batman, and it's basically just it's an homage to the Silver Age.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the best way to describe it. However, if you go to the finale of the movie, Batmite comes in, and he's called Mitefall, and Batmite has grown weary of Batman the Brave and the Bold, deeming its formula to be too tired and repetitive. So he concocts a scheme to make it so bad that the network will have to cancel the show to make way for a darker one. And Paul Rubens played Batmite. And it's a really funny Henry Winkler's in it.
Oh, wow.
And it's a pretty wild story. But for all the creations, you know, Batmite is one that was not, you know, you and I are not the target demo, but if you look at that show, Mitefall, it's called Mitefall. Again, you can see it on iTunes or YouTube or however. Batmite wants to fix the show because it's not dark enough.
So, look, before I let you go, this is has been a fascinating conversation. Getting back to the original question, why has this character endured for so long? I'm wondering, and give me your opinion, if it's a part of the fact that he's relatable to the everyday man. I mean, taking the fact that he's a billionaire out of the equation, but because he is a superhero with no discernible superpower, you know, he pretty much has his ingenuity.
Well, can I cut you off for 1 second, though?
Yeah.
Because you said something that's very interesting. It is the reason why I have read essays about how Batman could never be African-American.
Why?
Because Batman, and it was written by African-American people, because Batman comes from old money.
Mm-hmm.
What African-American family has old money?
Right, right.
It goes against history.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You could have, because there's been a lot of talk about Idris Elba mm-hmm. as the next Batman. And as much as that makes sense, it wouldn't fit the storyline of Batman.
Well, I mean, you could.
Trust me, I don't mind that they made Kingpin black. And yeah. I don't mind. Jimmy Olsen on the Supergirl show is black. I have no problem with that. It just has to fit the lexicon of the story.
There's a little thing called adoption. You could write that. You could write that so that you could make it happen.
But if he's adopted, does he care as much that the parents are killed?
If you're raised from an infant. If you're raised from an infant,
maybe.
I think you can. But the point I'm making is I can't relate to having spider senses. I can't relate to coming from a planet called Krypton. I can't relate to having been exposed
being an Amazon.
To gamma rays. But so you have this average, just a human who is doing these incredible things. And I wonder if that is one of the reasons why the character has endured so long.
Maybe. I just find Peter Parker a lot easier to relate to, mm-hmm. because despite the fact that he was bit by a bug, he has the same problems that you and I have.
Right.
This is a guy that has who was raised by his butler.
Right.
You know, even in the Affleck verse, you know what I mean? He had Alfred, and you know, I don't know how many people can relate to having an Alfred.
I mean, I was,
you know, and
I was
how much of Batman's success was raised by Alfred the butler.
I too was raised by a butler.
Oh well,
I called her mom.
Then you, yeah. Well, but that's the issue. That's the Batman part of it. That you know, it has to be just so. He has to have the big house, and he has to have, you know, all the countless resources to design his arsenal and his costume and his cars and his planes and all those things. And you know, it's funny in the Justice League movie, as corny as some of the writing was in that movie, the Flash says to him, he says, "What's your superpower?" And Affleck goes, "I'm rich."
Yeah. Hey man, look, it looks like I turned to the absolute right person to talk about this topic, Batman turning 80, an enduring part of American popular culture. Seth Everett, host of the Justice League, or Hall of Justice.
Hall of Justice.
Which you can get by where? iTunes and what else?
Anywhere. Yeah, anywhere. iTunes, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, anywhere podcasts are found. You know, and you find it on the iTunes chart. Just go to the TV and film chart. And yeah, it's been a labor of love. It's such a passion project. For some of the fun guests, I have some really fun movie reviewers. I have a Star Wars insider. It's a lot of fun. It's a really fun show.
It's a great show. But other than that, you're a world-class sports broadcaster and journalist. So we appreciate you joining us on Pop Life, and hope to have you back to talk about some other things that'll be coming up on the horizon in 2019.
Sure. We can talk about the song Pop Life.
Yeah. Thanks, dude.